Happy New Year. This is Captain Lou Albano out there, and I want to make a new resolution. I want all the little kiddies of America to look up to the captain, and I want you to follow in my ways. I want you to idolize me. I want you to do what I do. I want you to walk down the streets and say, I want to be another Captain Lou Albano. That's my resolution, to set a fine example for all the little punks of America. I want them all in my corner. Captain will show you the way, brother. Take a look at my face. Just imitate the captain. Do what the captain does.
Hayes, you have pulled me away from this Warriors versus Rockets game. It's the 4th of January, and it's a damn good game, Hayes. What do you... You're pulling me away to talk wrestling? Ugh.
Hey, I mean, I'm watching the damn game, too. You know, I'm a big basketball fan, so I feel your pain. But at least we're in it together, right?
Well, I don't have a TV in my room, so if you're technically watching the game, I feel jealous of you, because I'm just tucked away in my room, in my humble abode, talking some wrestling with you, which is perfectly awesome, mind you. I love doing it, but damn, man, that Warriors-Rockets game was getting good.
Yeah, Chris Paul's the man, and Gerald
Fuck
Green.
Chris Paul, he's a bum.
Oh, he's not a bum. I mean, in the playoffs, he can't execute in the playoffs. He's not a bum. But
he's
Gerald
bum.
Green, oh, whatever, man. He's
Gerald
not a
Green's
bum.
Going off, though. Gerald yeah. Green's going off, but Gerald Chris Green's Paul's going. A bum.
How is Chris Paul a bum?
He's
statistically,
a bum.
He's one of the best point guards of all time.
He's a bum.
Okay, well, I mean, to each his own.
No, I mean, like, he stays injured. You know, win a ring. I don't know. That's all I got to say. You know,
it's not going to happen. He's not going to win a ring. Never.
Yeah, of course, because he's not an elite player, because he's a bum.
So there's been elite players to not win rings. Is Charles Barkley not an elite player?
I'm just talking about Chris Paul. Chris Paul's a bum.
All right, fair enough. I mean, to each his own. LeBron has rings, and he's a bum, so I mean.
You think LeBron is a bum? Oh, now this is a completely different subject all entirely. Come on.
Okay, here's the thing. LeBron James is the biggest front runner in all of NBA Finals history, and I say that specifically. If you look at his Finals performances, if they're not leading by at least 5 points with 5 minutes left, he's the biggest bitch in playoff history. Just after we're done.
What kind of stat is the biggest bitch in playoff history? Like, how is that a statistical, like, is there a bitch stat that I've never been aware of?
His production goes down. Like, he completely starts deferring. And it's fine to defer when you're getting your teammates in rhythm. But down the stretch, you want to be the king. You want to be the best player of all time. Statistically, In those games, like, his production as far as the shots, him taking shots goes down, his successful assist attempts goes down, his turnovers go up. If LeBron's not leading in the fourth quarter of the finals, he turns into Chris Paul. So
wait, so if LeBron is not leading, he turns into Chris Paul? I thought you were defending Chris Paul.
Well, I'm just comparing him to someone I know you don't like. That's all.
You're all over the place, and yeah. I don't believe you. LeBron James is the best player in the world.
No, he is, except in the final. And that's the thing. He's the best player in the world. I give him his props. I give him his kudos. He's the best player of this generation. Not ever of this generation. For sure. Top three ever. Absolutely. But as being that, in the finals, when your team needs you and you have a chance to win a championship, that's when, historically, the best players in the league have stepped up. Kobe's done it. Hell, even Barkley, who hasn't won a finals, has done it. Kareem
yeah,
did it.
He didn't win. So how did he do
but
it?
But still, like, I'm well, he didn't falter. He didn't all of a sudden change his style of play to start deferring and shied away from taking shots. At least he went down being effective. His team just wasn't able to do it. LeBron completely changes the type of player he is in the finals when they're not leading going into the fourth quarter.
So, well, I mean, can you blame him, though? Because when it comes down to it, look, I mean, just hear me out. Like, his whole season, he is a team-centric player. He mm-hmm. averages, you know, a hell of a lot of assists. Going into the playoffs, he averages a hell of a lot of assists. But then when he goes into the finals, and then it's they're down in the fourth quarter or whatever scenario you want to put him into, when it's clutch time, the team agrees that the ball needs to be in LeBron's hands. Is that so much a fault of LeBron that he is clearly the best team? He's the best player on the team. He's the best player on the world. So, like, is it really his fault that they're going to give the ball to him in the fourth quarter and make make him be the clutch player. I don't think
But that's not the thing. Nobody's saying that. Nobody's saying that he shouldn't have the ball. The thing is that they're looking for him to be that clutch player, and he's not doing it when they're down. He's not doing it. He's passing it to people who aren't open, who aren't in the best position. He's just trying to get the ball out of his hands. Like I said, specifically I'm talking about in the scenario in the finals. During the regular season, he can be in the exact same situation, and he's going to come up every single time. But there's something mentally about when he's in the finals that he just – and it was covered up a little bit when he was in Miami because he had two other Hall of Famers with him. Well, Chris Bosh. He's probably going to get in, though. He's probably going to get in. But all right,
that's enough of that.
You don't think Chris Bosh is going to get in the Hall of Fame?
No.
Watch. Tracy McGrady got in the Hall of Fame. Chris Bosh is getting in the Hall of Fame.
Nobody's voting for that Tyrannosaurus Rex. Ain't nobody doing that.
Chris Bosh is getting in the Hall of Fame. Well, just watch. We'll have this. Well, 10 years from now, we'll still be doing this podcast. And when he gets in the Hall of Fame, I just want you to say, Hayes, you said it. I want a whole dissertation about why I'm amazing.
Well, this is going to be a podcast. I mean, of course, this is going to last forever. It's going to be on the internet. So we'll go back from now 10 years. That's what it takes for Chris Bosh to get into the Hall of Fame. We will go back to this show, and you could say that I was wrong. But up until then, I'm going to think that I was right.
Yeah, fair enough. But don't forget the sympathy angle too. Since his career was taken away from him, they're gonna shoot him in. But we'll see.
I know we will see. But Hayes, in general, how are you faring, man? Look, we live on. I mean, you live on Columbus, so you live in Ohio. So I don't know if it's hitting you, but we had this cyclone, the bomb cyclone, whatever the fuck it's called, up at the East Coast. This winter storm, it's brutal up here in New York City. I had snow up to my knees today, and I'm 6'2", so I got tall knees. I mean, it was a lot of snow today. How'd it fare over in Ohio in terms of this winter storm?
Oh, we're getting snow now. Like, snow's literally just starting to fall down, so we'll see how much we get. But yeah, we didn't get any snow during the course of the day, which was crazy. I didn't, like, we got 6 inches, I think, like last Friday, and we didn't get anything today.
Dude, it was a winter storm. Like, it was an emergency advisory for the whole state and a special advisory for the city of New York. And I had to go to work today. You know, work was like, fuck it, we'll just, you know, we'll order pizza. Awesome. I got one slice of pizza because they didn't order enough for everybody. So awesome. Thanks, guys. But, you know, hey, got to go and I got paid and I was freezing my dick off all day. But hey, whatever. It was work was work. But glad to hear that it's not totally hit you. But I can guarantee you tomorrow. I mean, what are you looking at? I mean, it's probably going to be mad snow. You think you're going to go into work tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to work. I have no excuse to not go to work. Work is like a 5-minute walk from my house, so I'll be at work.
A 5-minute walk? Well, I mean, so it's not going to get canceled for those that are commuting from longer, you think?
Well, I do work in the stock market industry, so they typically don't cancel work as long as the stock market's open. Now, they may allow some people to work from home, the ones that have the capability to do so. But, yeah, they're not going to cancel work completely.
Well, that's nice. Clearly, we won't either because I had to. I walked outside of my front door this morning knowing that we don't own a shovel. We don't own Epsom salt. We don't own anything prepared for the winter. I don't know why, but we just don't. So I open up my door and I realize that I can't even open up my fucking door because the snow is so high. And so I had to barge my way out the door, kick the snow out of the way. Thankfully, I got some snow boots up here. If I didn't have those, I don't know how I would have made it to work today without literal hypothermia. So praise be to the snow boots that I just picked up from my parents' house a week ago. So good timing on my part, I guess.
I don't know if I've asked you this before. So you're a New Yorker now. Do you walk everywhere? Well, obviously not in this weather. Do you have your car? Do you Uber? How does Josh get back and forth in New York City?
Oh, dude, I have no car. I left my car behind. And so I graduated from school in Ohio, went back home, dropped off my car, dropped off anything that I couldn't take up to New York, and then moved up to New York. So I have no car up here. I commute around the city via the wonderful MTA. I commute around on the trains. Sometimes the buses, but the buses are wildly inconsistent, especially when there is snow on the ground. So I mostly take advantage of the trains, but, I Uber, the only times I Uber, and, this is dead ass. I don't mean to say that, but like, this is real, is that the only times that I Uber is whenever I'm like with a girl or when I'm with, like, just really fucked up at a bar and I don't know where the fuck I am, and then I'm just trying to take an Uber home. That's the only times I take it home. Other than that, I'm pretty much bound to the trains. I have an unlimited pass on the MTA, so hey, I can take it wherever for no cost. It's expensive. It's $121 a month, but you know, hey, gets me around.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth it. That price monthly, I mean, it's definitely worth what you'd be spending in gas anyway, probably. So,
well, how about you? How do you get around? I mean, you got a car, I assume. What kind of car you got?
I have two. I have a Lexus, which I only drive very seldomly. And then I have the Traverse, which is the family vehicle, but that's what I basically use to get around week to week.
It's a Traverse? What?
Yep, Chevy Traverse.
Oh, what is that, like a midsize?
It's a crossover. So.
Oh. Yeah. So how many people are you packing in there? Like five?
Six. You know we're a family of six, so we fit six comfortably. Yeah. Yeah, so.
That's awesome, man. Hey, that's a perfect car for you then, I guess.
Yeah. Exactly. And we got there's a DVD player in the back, so when we do take long trips, the kids aren't bothering us. Because it used
awesome.
To be.
Awesome.
It used to be we didn't have the DVD player in the back in the car we had previously, and they would be back there like throwing shit at each other. I'd be driving, and all of a sudden there would be like a French fry that comes flying up to the front. Like, no, nobody has time for that shit. So now their attention is taken.
a rogue French fry comes flying through. I love that.
Yeah, man, it gets real.
So what they used to strap me up, we had this TV that could plug into what my parents always called the cigarette lighter, which I guess it's just like the car charger port. But like, we had a TV that would plug into what they called the cigarette lighter, the car. You know, if you plug your phone in to charge your phone in the car, you know, it's the same plug. You just plug the TV in there and it like took like VHS and DVDs. It was fucking sweet. I mean, we would go on these long ass road trips. We watched The Neverending Story. I hated that movie. It scared the shit out of me, but my sister loved it. So we watched that all like on these long road trips and things like that. It was great. But so you got the Traverse with the TVs built into each seat, like on each side. That's a kid's dream.
Yeah. I mean, they enjoyed it. And the good thing is that, like, they can each plug their own devices into it. So, like, my son will plug his Switch into it, his Nintendo Switch. He'll play that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so, yeah.
God.
It's
He's
awesome.
Got a Switch? Your kid's got a Switch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have every video game system here. I got it 2 days after it came out. Like, I don't do that waiting in line shit, but I have a Kinect at a GameStop. And he called me when they got some extra. He was like, I can't hold it for you. But we open in 30 minutes. If you're here when we open, I'll make sure you get it. So
nice. That's a fucking great Kinect to have. Are you playing the games with him?
Some of the times, like me and him played Zelda together, which I've been a huge Zelda fan my whole life. So we got into Zelda.
I'm surprised you're not stealing that away from him if you've been a Zelda fan.
Oh, when he sleep, best believe. I definitely have my own save. but yeah, so Zelda. They're getting ready to come out with what's the name of that game? Not Monster Rancher, something like that. I can't remember, but that looks good. I play NBA basketball games with them, so yeah. I don't play too much with him as much as he probably would want me to. But he has a lot of single player games anyway.
Yeah, man, I'm so jealous. I wish I could play the Switch. I wish I could play that new Legend of Zelda. Like, I had a friend of mine. That had it, but that was right when I was graduating college when that came out, so I never really had a chance to play it, and I've never even seen a Switch since I graduated college, so I haven't even had the chance to play it. How is it?
Man, when I tell you, it's like they made a Zelda game, like a GTA Zelda game, like it's completely open world. It's amazing. Like, seriously, probably one of the best games I've played in the last 5 years easily, and I'm a video gamer, so.
Bro, I love this open world shit. I've been like I'm set on this is that I used to play this game years ago, and I just downloaded it what 3 or 4 days ago. It's Fallout New Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
You played that game?
Oh yeah, I got it on PS4. So.
So I had it on PS4 as well. Or no, I had it on PS3. But I don't like. Seriously, I don't like Fallout 3 or Fallout 4. I like Fallout 1 and 2. I also have them on my computer. But I like Fallout New Vegas to me is just so fantastic. I love the world and how open it is. And it's in a similar vein to the best Zelda games. I mean, my favorite game of all time is Ocarina of Time. I mean, like. And what's your favorite Zelda game? Because to me, they all pale in comparison to Ocarina of Time. And if the new game lives up to that, I'll buy a Switch. Just play that.
It's better than Ocarina of Time.
All right, get the fuck out of here.
Hands down, and I've played Ocarina of Time, Nintendo 64, best believe. I had the gold edition, the one that was like $150 back then.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yep.
But yeah, it's okay. So the thing is that literally it's completely up to you. So like you can like there's certain people you'll run into like your first hour playing the game and you'll lose and you won't be able to come back until you're like 10 hours into the game after you've gotten certain stuff and you realize like, hey, now I can go back and fight this fucking dragon I saw 10 hours ago. It's a great game, seriously. It's good. And so you like Zelda. Did you ever play Darksiders?
No, man. The only Zelda games I ever played was the Nintendo 64 ones, which is Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask. I played the Game Boy Advance ones. I think that was like Four Swords, I think was the name of it. And my buddy had a GameCube, so I played the Wind Waker game. But that's the only ones I played.
That's what's up. I never played Wind Waker. I skipped GameCube. So that was my time where I was against Nintendo for a minute because the GameCube, I had it for like 2 days and it pissed me off and then I returned it.
Really? PS. What pissed you off about it?
I can't remember which game I was playing on it. I think it was like a Metal Gear game came out on it and the graphics were just so much worse than the exact same game on the PS2. I was just like, okay, it's time for me. Or well, I think it was a PlayStation at the time. It was one of them. But I was like, I was like 13.
Metroid Prime?
No, well, Metroid Prime is a Nintendo exclusive. No, I think it was Metal Gear Solid.
I thought you said Metroid. My bad.
Yeah. So, and that was at the time where I had like had my paper route. Like I had a paper route. That was my first job. I had to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to deliver newspapers. For anyone who doesn't even know what newspapers are anymore, but but yeah, so. So I was spending my own money on this shit, and I was just pissed off, so I returned it and got something else.
Oh, nice. I mean, there you go. What'd you get?
I got, I think it was a PS2 at the time. I think it was, it would have been PS2, so I got a PlayStation 2.
What an upgrade.
Yeah, definitely.
So you traded in the GameCube straight up for a PS2?
Yeah, well, I only had it for a couple of days, so I was able to return it to the store for a full refund, added some money to it, got a PS2. I think I got that same Metal Gear game on that, and I had got something else, but yeah, that's what I did.
Damn, that's awesome. We are literally, like, this is a fucking gaming podcast. We've been talking about gaming for 20 minutes. Fuck it. What's your favorite game?
Of all time.
Let's go.
It has to be Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. Like, just, I don't, it's awesome. And it's not, yeah, awesome. It's not the best game of all time, but it's definitely my favorite. Just everything you're able to do in that game, like that was like at the pinnacle of open world. Like there's still some open world games now that are kind of still just what that game was able to do. And what was that, like 10 years ago at this point? It's had to be close. Like, yeah, so that's one of my favorite games ever.
Dude, my favorite game is fucking Crazy Taxi because like I grew up. I played like Crazy Taxi. I played more than Grand Theft Auto. If I ever played Grand Theft Auto when I was growing up, my answer would be Grand Theft Auto. But I grew up playing Crazy Taxi instead because it wasn't rated M. You know, like that was my parents. Like they drew the line. I was never allowed to play those. And I like I could sneak over to my friends' houses and play it for like a hot second. But like I played Crazy Taxi like crazy as a kid. I got Crazy Taxi on my phone. I play it every week. Like I love Crazy Taxi. I got 3 games installed on my phone right now. It's Crazy Taxi, Sonic the Hedgehog, and Tetris. That's all I need, man.
Yeah, I have Tetris is on my phone. I have Tetris on my smartwatch. Like Tetris is one of those things. I think on every system I've ever had, I've had a Tetris game on it.
I will beat your ass on Tetris.
Okay, we can definitely go down that route, Josh. We can definitely don't doubt the old man.
I doubt the old man. Let me tell you that. I doubt the old man.
I've been playing Tetris since the Game Boy that only had a green and black screen. It wasn't even white. It was just green and black.
Oh, I know. My cousin had it. I never had the, like, before I ever had a Game Boy Advance, I just played on my cousin's Game Boy black and white, and I was playing Tetris, man. Been groomed in Tetris. I was born in Tetris, like Bane said in The Dark Knight. I was born in it. You merely came into Tetris. I was born into it, man. You got no chance.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Are we going to talk any wrestling today?
Dude, I don't know. I mean, do we have to? Do you want to? I mean, for Christ's sake.
I mean, we did say we're having the best of 2017 show. I mean, we might as well get to some wrestling at least.
Oh, man. I forgot we were going to do that. It's the best of 2017, folks. Is everybody excited? So, technically, tonight is Thursday. Impact is airing tonight. We will be discussing Impact and Wrestle Kingdom, as we've both watched. You've watched 2/3, am I right?
Yeah, I'm gonna finish as soon as we get done recording.
Literally, I am at the 4-hour mark. It's a 6-hour show, 6 to 7-hour show. Forgive us, folks. I'm literally at 2/3 too. So we're gonna churn through that. We're gonna review both of them this coming weekend. We're gonna review it. I think we're gonna record like Sunday, Monday, something like that. We're gonna get it out to you guys by Tuesday or Wednesday. But trust us, folks, it's coming. But at this current moment, it's time for the best of 2017. Hayes, have you got your ballot filled out?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, shit. Do you want to lead off with the mail? Wait, so which way do we want to do this? We should probably go, like, up to the male performer. That should be the last one we do. Should that be the first one we do?
No, let's make that the last.
Let's make that the last. We'll build up to it. All right. Well, our first category, and I'm going to throw it to you first, is the most underrated / underpushed, because oftentimes those two things can get blurred. Whichever adverb or adjective, whatever the grammar term is, whatever you ascribe to this person, either underpushed or underrated, what's your choice for 2017?
My most underpushed, underrated, I went more the underpushed route, and that's Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks is a great performer. And just so everyone knows, my list isn't all WWE, just so you guys know, these categories aren't strictly WWE, but Sasha Banks, I think, is just, she's so over. She's a great talent, and it just seems like she has start and stop pushes. Like, they put the title on her, and she'll lose it at the very next pay-per-view. I don't know if has she ever had a successful title defense?
I don't think so.
Yeah, and so, yeah, people will say, well, she's held the title a few times over the course of this year, but it hasn't really been a true title reign, so Sasha Banks my pick there.
I really love that pick, and it's a better pick than I have, and now that I hear your pick, I really wish I would have gone with that pick. But my pick, personally, is a guy that my only reason that I feel like he's been underpushed, it's not like he hasn't been in main event segments. It's not like he hasn't been a main event player. It's not like he hasn't main evented shows in WWE this year. But my big gripe is that he hasn't won a single title yet in his whole main event run. And that's Samoa Joe. I feel like that guy has had to have had a strap on him at some point so far. If you're going to push him as this unbeatable monster, he's been up on the main roster for a few months now and hasn't touched gold. That's a problem for his character, I feel. And that's why, to me, I feel like he's been underpushed. He's not underrated. Everybody agrees that he's the shit. But in terms of how they, like, the underpushed narrative, I feel like that he is the guy that I fit into that narrative.
I like that pick, though. I can completely agree with that, too. I think he was injured at one point. Who knows if it would have changed some if he hadn't gotten hurt. But, yeah, Samoa Joe, he needs 2018. We definitely need to see Samoa Joe get a title of some sort.
We're moving on to the next category. And when I brought this up to you over text, you said that you had the perfect fit for this category. It's Rookie of the Year for 2017, Hayes. I'm dying to hear who you're going to say for this.
Well, initially, I had trouble with this as I text you. I'm like, I can't really think of any rookie. And you mentioned Braun. You mentioned Juice. But then you mentioned the guy who I was like, I can't believe I didn't think about this. And that is the Velveteen Dream. And I think that he's the Rookie of the Year for sure because, I mean, at least my first introduction to him was randomly when he popped up and challenged Nakamura to a match about a year ago. But when you look at what he's been able to do, how he's been able to get the crowd behind him, and the match quality he was able to have with Aleister Black, He hasn't had much in 2017, but what's he has done has shown a lot of promise, and I think the Velveteen Dream is definitely going to be one to watch in 2018. So he's my rookie of the year.
Dude, he was given a spot and he just took off with it and made it into one of the best feuds of the year. Barring any promotion, NXT, Raw, or SmackDown, he made it one of the best feuds of the year in the entirety of WWE. And for a guy really getting, that's his first ever feud, and he was able to push it to that level. I mean, it's so hard to argue against him being Rookie of the Year. So, I mean, like, I cannot fault you for saying that. And I just want to clarify for the listeners, when I was clarifying the rules to Hayes about the Rookie of the Year selection, I was merely saying it's not a guy that just started wrestling this year. It's just a guy that has been featured primarily on TV this year, as opposed to maybe where he was featured in a cursory basis. Like Patrick Clark, aka Velveteen Dream, was featured on TV in 2016. Okay, we're not counting, like, that was not his rookie year. This is his rookie year because he's been featured on TV. Braun Strowman was a member of the Wyatt family for a cup of coffee at the end of 2016, but 2017 has been the year where Braun Strowman as a character has come out. And Juice Robinson, the other example that you brought up, is a guy that was, you know, he was CJ Parker in NXT. Everybody's seen him before, but this has been his breakout year in New Japan. So I guess maybe more so it's a rookie / breakout year sort of category. And I'm going to go back to a guy that I just mentioned earlier. It's Braun Strowman for me. I mean, just undeniable charisma, undeniable talent, and his just the size is obviously there, but not everybody his size works out. And he has been nothing but absolute gold from his promos to his matches. I love his finisher. I love the combination of how devastating it looks / how safe it truly is. I think that he is the total package right now. And I think it's personally a mistake for them if they don't put the belt on him at Royal Rumble, but you and me are going to discuss the Royal Rumble at some point down the road. That'll be some, you know, obviously that's a conversation for another day, but man, oh man, they got to put a strap on that guy soon because he is absolute money. He's my Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, that's probably most people's pick. And it's a great one. Like, I mean, how can you argue that pick at all? So I agree with you there.
Well, dude, I was just saying, like, how could you argue against the Velveteen Dream? I mean, in terms of the purest definition of a rookie, Velveteen Dream is a pure rookie than Braun Strowman. Technically, Braun Strowman had his quote-unquote shot when he was with the Wyatt family, and he unveiled that black sheep's mask and, you know, was supposed to be this crazy fourth member. And that kind of just fell through the cracks. But Velveteen Dream, on his first shot, just knocked it out of the fucking park. So, if you compare the two in terms of how quote-unquote rookie they are, Velveteen Dream is probably the better pick, but I'm picking the rules here, Hayes, so, you know, I'm going to go with Ron. Fuck it.
Cool.
Moment of the year. I know what I'm going with, and I just mentioned this on the pod just a few weeks ago, what my moment of the year, and trust me, it hasn't changed, so I'm curious to hear what yours is.
It was difficult for me to pick this moment, the moment of the year, because there have been some great moments in wrestling. I almost picked Chris Jericho randomly popping up on the screen to challenge Kenny Omega, but I did not pick that. Honestly, my moment of the year, and this was nothing but just because of everything the guy's been through, that's Kurt Angle teaming with The Shield. The match was shit. I didn't like the match at all, but just seeing him come out there, seeing the look on his face, like he just looked like he had so much fun, and to know that he really wanted to come back to WWE. He feels like WWE is his home. He's been through so much in this company. He went away. He's admitted his problems with Vince and things that he did that kind of caused that relationship to sour a little bit. So just to see him come back into the fold in WWE at the Hall of Fame, but to be able to wrestle again in the WWE ring, and Kurt Angle was one of my favorite wrestlers. It was a sentimental moment for me, so that's my moment of the year.
Dude, he was so happy, and it was just such a cool moment. He came out there looking like a proud dad whenever he came down that ring with, you know, Rollins and Rome, or who was it? Rollins and Ambrose. I don't know. I don't remember who was out, but oh my god, that was just such a great moment, like you said. But can you guess what my moment of the year was, if you can remember?
I can't.
LAX coming back to Impact, yeah. Man. I swear to God, I'm not an Impact Mark. I'm telling you, I was last year. I'm definitely not the 2017 Impact Mark. But, oh my God, those gunshots go off. Decay, Abyss's reaction. So, just like, let me just break down how good that segment was. So, the gunshots go off, and Abyss reacts. He looks at the Titantron, and he sees Homicide and fucking Conan come down the ring. And he's paid attention to those two, and he's shocked that those two were even back in the Impact Zone. And then, because you're familiar with those two, so those two are going to come down the ramp. Then the other three members, Ortiz, Santana, and Diamante, three members that are brand new members, they come out of nowhere. They come out from the stands, and then they ambush those Crazy Steve and Abyss, and then they just beat the fuck out of them and Rosemary, and just it was an insane moment. But just the minutia of having the known members come down the ramp, having them face off with Decay, and then the unknown members coming out from behind, and then the unknown members making the statement, to me was such good writing, such an immediately good way of putting over Ortiz, Santana, and Diamante, and then fucking Homicide doing the Gringo Killer. It was just, it was such a well-done segment, the most well-done segment of the year, and I just fucking love LAX. And then, you know, Conan's promo afterwards goes without saying. Every aspect of that segment to me was utter gold. They didn't fuck up a single second of that. And to me, it's just a flawless segment. And to me, that's why it's my best moment of 2017.
Yeah, I can't. I like that a lot. Yeah, that was a great moment. I know when I read the rumors of LAX coming back, I was just like, LAX, really? But it was a great moment, and it really defined Impact Wrestling in that tag division for the rest of the year.
Dude, I mean, you're telling me it defined it. We've been doing OVE versus LAX for fucking 3 months now. So,
Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, fuck that shit.
3 months feels like it's being, you know, conservative. My God. I mean, how long has they even been going? Who knows? But I don't think that either one of us are going to be referencing Impact as our next, as the candidate for our next topic, and that's promotion of the year. To me personally, and we'll get to this more extensively in our next episode, but I cannot say in good conscience New Japan, even if it is technically the best. I haven't watched Dominion. I haven't watched Wrestle Kingdom 11 in full. I haven't watched all their shows. I cannot say that they're the best promotion because I've barely watched them. So I have to talk about what I've watched and what I've watched and enjoyed the most this year has been NXT. And I've watched NXT probably on a less regular basis than Raw and SmackDown, but that was to start the year. But over the past like 3 months, I have just picked up NXT all over again. I've gotten right back into it. I remember whenever, I think it was over the course of this past year, they changed the theme song. They changed the whole look of the show to like this more like edgy, like we got a rock song now, like real edgy kind of bullshit. And I was like, all right, fine. Let's see what's up with this. And then Aleister Black was in it. That was when the Velveteen Dream feud started, and I was like, I'm all in. Ever since I've been hooked, I'm back in NXT, and NXT is back as my number one. All in good conscience, I couldn't say Raw or SmackDown because I don't enjoy those shows, and I don't enjoy Impact either, so I don't even know why I watch this anymore, but NXT keeps me around.
Yeah, for my promotion of the year, and I agree with a lot of what you said, I almost picked NXT. New Japan, it's almost always the pick that I will say. I mean, they're probably the most consistent as far as like quality, but as far as my best promotion of the year, I have to give it to Lucha Underground, and it's due to a few different things. Like wrestling, yes, most of it should be in the ring, but the stories that they're telling in Lucha Underground, and especially this season where it was a lot of callbacks to a couple of seasons prior to that, like they just brought a lot of things home. I love what they did with both Prince Puma and Pentagon, and how that all kind of culminated finally after all these years. Vampiro down there, it's just the wrestling is great as well, but the story that they're telling there is why I had to pick them as my promotion of the year.
I mean, anybody that pays attention to For the Love of Lucha, which, man, I can't wait for that show to come back. For the Love of Lucha, anybody knows how good that show is and how good the preceding podcast can get. So I didn't even think that you were going to say that. I thought you were going to say Evolve based on our conversation last week, but can't blame me for Lucha Underground. I don't watch enough of that show, man. I feel like if I miss one week because it's so, like, it's got such good cinematography, it really feels like a TV show. If I miss one week, I feel like I've just missed a ton of shit, and it's always tough for me to catch up.
Yeah, and I missed the whole first season, so it took me...
You haven't even gone back and watched it?
No, I have. I'm just saying when I initially went in, because when I heard of Lucha Underground, and I think I had saw, like, some weird clip of, like, at the time, I want to say... It was Mil Muertes and that rock or whatever. Like, I saw something, like a weird clip from it. I'm like, oh, I'm not watching this shit. And I can't remember who it was. I think it was even before we started this network. But someone was like, no, you should check out Lucha Underground. And I was like, okay. I watched a couple of the episodes from season 2 at that time, which had just started. And I just felt like so overwhelmed by some of it. So it like took me 3 months to catch up and then go back into season 2. And I've been hooked ever since. Lucha Underground is... Yeah, it's definitely one of my favorite promotions. It is, man. Once you get caught behind, and they do so many episodes, like, what, 35 episodes per season? So if you haven't watched any of it yet, I can just imagine how daunting that is to try to jump in
it. Dude, it's very daunting, but it's like you see these great moments. I think the moment that I saw, I want to say that it was Johnny Mundo jumping off the rafters, like doing like this crazy, like 720 into the ring. Like, my God, it was just ridiculous. But I guess we'll move on, man. That's got to be my resolution for this year, 2018. I got to watch more Lucha Underground. But we'll move right into event of the year. Shit, maybe yours is a Lucha Underground event. What's your event of the year?
My event of the year is not a Lucha Underground event. It's not a New Japan pro wrestling event, as some people would think. We're going to go all the way back to April, and that is NXT TakeOver Orlando. That's my event of the year. Like, that had Bobby Roode and Shinsuke Nakamura, one of their best matches of that series. That's also the one that had the Authors of Pain versus DIY versus Revival, Aleister Black versus Cien Almas. That's my event of the year. I love that event. I love it a lot.
Andre Cien Almas coming out, and that was just like he has been. Man, we really should have highlighted him. I wish we had a category to highlight Andrade Cien Almas, because he was just such a breakout star this year. Maybe we should have a breakout star category or something to the event. But, man, oh, man, he was just a breakout guy this year with Zelina Vega. Man, Zelina Vega definitely could have been a rookie of the year that I didn't even think about up until this point. But, I mean, that duo, that has done such wonders for him.
Oh yeah, once they added him to her, it just took it up another level. I mean, you see where he got to a point to where they felt comfortable making him the NXT champion. I mean, even though Drew McIntyre got injured in that match, that was the planned finish, so they were planning on putting the strap on him. And he's someone that I don't want to see leave the company, because I do think he can be so good for them. If he does come up to the main roster, I don't want to see him in the cruiserweight division. That would just completely ruin all of it. But I like him a lot, and I liked him as La Sombra. I've seen what he's been able to do in the matches he had with Shinsuke Nakamura over in New Japan. The guy is a talent. I'm just glad that they finally realized it. Hopefully it's enough, because at one point there were rumors going around that he wanted out. So
yeah, and so I'm just going to – the perfect turns this right into my event of the year, which was his crowning achievement of 2017, and that was NXT TakeOver War Games. He beat Drew McIntyre, which was an awesome match. But, I mean, I got one reason for that being my number one event of the year, and that's for that main fucking event. That match was awesome. That War Games match.
Yes, it was.
It was just so great. And it's not even like everything surrounding it was bad. You had the culmination of Aleister Black versus Velveteen Dream. You had the Lars Sullivan pay-per-view debut. You had the Fatal 4-Way of the Women. Every single match on the card was fucking fantastic. And it was a you-cannot-miss-this sort of event. And that is the sort of thing that I felt was lacking in 2017. I felt like there was a lot better pay-per-views in 2016 than 2017, but when it came to this year, War Games was a can't-miss event, and man, I'm happy I saw it live, and it's my 2017 event of the year.
Takeovers are always going to be somewhere up on that list to me, but yeah, absolutely. I love that event as well.
Literally, you come down to the end of the year and you're like, okay, you pick your takeover. It's not like a WWE event ever came close to that. I mean, shit, I guess we, like I said, I didn't watch Wrestle Kingdom 11. That's in our calendar year. And Wrestle Kingdom 12 happened last night, and or I guess this morning, I guess technically at 2 a.m. on the East Coast. So pardon me, I haven't watched the whole thing, but it's been a damn good show. So maybe I could have just slipped it in there. I'll just tell you, from the 2/3 that I've watched, it's been a riot, but we'll get more into that when we review it. But that might be a forerunner for the best event of 2018. So who's to say?
Absolutely.
Well, we'll move right on. Keep this show a rolling. We're going to go into the match of the year. Lots of candidates for this. And this is a category where there is some New Japan influence coming my way. I haven't watched all their pay-per-views or anything, but I've certainly seen a number of New Japan matches. So maybe that'll influence you in your match of the year, Hayes.
My match of the year is Tyler Bate versus Pete Dunne.
Wow, not even NJPW.
Okay. It's not. There's a couple things that go into this match. First of all, the United Kingdom Championship, that whole tournament, I didn't know what to expect. It's a different style of wrestling, and I was impressed. Most of those guys, and I watch so much indie wrestling as well, it's very rare that I'm completely unfamiliar with a lot of guys. Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate are two people that, before that tournament, didn't know crap about. I could have passed them on the street. Would not have thought anything about it. Over the course of the tournament, it built very well. That match, and some people think that their match at TakeOver Chicago was better when Pete Dunne won the title off Tyler Bate, but it's something about that first match to me personally that was just like, this is amazing. And I felt like it was the birth of two people who are going to be stars in not necessarily this company if they don't stick around. They're both so young, but in this business for a very long time. I felt like for the first time in a while on WWE programming, we were seeing the rise of new young stars, and I've been fans of theirs ever since. Like, I check out everything Pete Dunne does now. I think that guy is going to be, he has such a bright future as a heel, but that's my match of the year.
Dude, you make such a good point in that it felt like you were watching the crowning achievement of, not even the crowning achievement, but the thing that pushes them into the next echelon of stardom in this business. It felt like we were watching that real time when you watched that match. You were like, this is the star-making performance for both these guys, and it truly has been. They haven't pushed them as hard as they really should. I mean, those two guys, they're ready to go. I mean, like, they got the charisma. They got the moves. They could be on TV next week, but for whatever reason, they're not doing that right now. But it was a star-making performance for both, and you never really, like you said, get to see that anymore. So it was a truly special moment. But for me personally, mine, I do feel bad. I kind of teased the New Japan thing. I was hoping that one of us had a New Japan match because somebody is probably going to be listening to this being like, seriously, like, no Omega, no Okada. Like, they were the best performers of the year in this, you know, random fan's opinion. Like, you know, and in many people's opinion, they were the best performers of the year. They're the best wrestlers. They put on the best matches. But, man, I watched Omega Okada. I watched the Dominion match. I watched the Wrestle Kingdom 11 match. War Games was my favorite match of the year, man. I'm sorry. That match was from start to finish. I was hooked. I like my sports entertainment and I like my wrestling. I love a good fucking wrestling match, but I also love just something that just blows me away. Like War Games did. The rules, all the spots were they were well-timed. I didn't feel like anybody was out of position at any point. It built up so well. Just everything was so well executed to the point where I was like, ugh, this is just such a good match. I was so sports entertained. And even as a wrestling, like, I don't care if you draw the line between sports entertainment or wrestling. This match could throw all that shit out the window. It was a fun, brutal, storytelling, well-wrestled match. From start to finish, everything about it was just sublime to me. So that's my favorite match of the year. And I don't give a fuck what anybody's going to say about it.
I don't think too many people are going to argue with that. No, somebody's going to argue with it. It's wrestling. That's all we do is argue. But yeah, I like that pick.
Such is the plight of the wrestling fan, let alone the wrestling podcaster. We'll move in to our co-main event, and that is the female performer of the year. Mine goes without argument in my own mind. I'm dead set on this one, but I want to hear what you got first.
Well, mine, I almost picked Asuka here because she's great. She delivers matches consistently, but I had to pick Alexa Bliss, and here's why. She's had to do it on TV every single week, whereas Asuka wasn't on NXT television every week. Alexa Bliss on both brands. She did it on SmackDown. She turned around and did it on Raw. She's faced almost everybody on either one of those rosters. Alexa Bliss is my female performer of the year.
What's a good Alexa Bliss match?
Her and Becky Lynch for the SmackDown Women's title was a really good match.
Okay. Is there one on Raw?
The TLC match. What, didn't they have a TLC match? They had a tables match. They had one of those matches that was really good too. On Raw, she's had some solid matches. But no great matches. Yeah, but it's female performer of the year. It's not just wrestling. Yeah, like what she's able to do.
No, you're who's right. Your you're pick? Right. You're right. Keep going.
What she's able to do on the mic, there's not that many. She's one of the best heels on the mic, in my opinion, regardless of sex. Like she just does it. And especially when talking smack. Fact. When talking smack was still talking smack and she was on there periodically, like she delivers great promos. And maybe it's because I had low expectations for Alexa Bliss on the main roster. Initially, I thought she wasn't ready, but she came and it took her maybe a couple months to really get the hang of it and get her feet underneath her. But she's hit the ground running after that, in my opinion.
Dude, we lost so many stars in 2016, but you just made me depressed, reminding me of one, and that was Talking Smack. We have a moment of silence for Talking Smack. Okay. Man, what about that show? What the fuck happened to that shit, man? That got so many people over. What the fuck is wrong with them?
I don't know, man. Vince just doesn't like non-scripted stuff, apparently. Like, the rumors are going around that he saw somebody's promo and just went off about it and canceled it, like, the next day. Like, it's crazy to me. It's great. Look at how many stars were built in this company over its history with non-scripted moments. And now Miz, it's like the man hates things that aren't on script.
The Miz had his resurgence. I mean, I genuinely feel like that was like his rocket into not the main event scene, but being a featured weekly. Like, he was already a featured weekly player, but he got over with everybody with that Talking Smack promo, as did everybody like Alexa Bliss. Like you just said, when it comes down to performer of the year, Alexa Bliss is absolutely a top three candidate in my eyes. And she is somebody, like, there was two women at the top of WWE this year, and it was fairly obvious from the jump, you know, from January up until December, who the top two women in WWE were. On one brand, it was Alexa, and on the other brand, it was Charlotte. And they switched brands, but it doesn't matter. Either brand, they are the top two girls. And it's been like that all year, and for my sake, I'm going to go with the other half of those two. I'm going to go with Charlotte. I think that Charlotte is, she was my favorite performer last year. She's still my favorite performer this year. She's kind of cooled off in this latter half of the year because she's been on SmackDown. And, you know, they haven't really used her nearly enough as they should. But, I mean, she was used so prominently for the past year and a half before that, then I can understand that. But still, Charlotte is just money on the microphone. I mean, let's be fair. Some of her face promos are just robotic and bad, but I'm not such a big fan of her face turn on SmackDown, but when it comes down to her in-ring, she's a great face, and she can do. She has the charisma to be a face. Her face promos need a little bit of work, but that's literally the only part of her game that I think is not just utterly incredible. Her in-ring is the best in the company to me, and that's including Asuka to me. I think Charlotte's the best in the company in-ring. I think she's the best woman. She's the best woman on the roster on the mic. When it comes to the heel promos, nobody's better than she is. I just think that she is the top performer, and Alexa is close, but she can't hold up to her in the ring we saw in Survivor Series. So I feel like Charlotte is
just it's not even close for me. I think Charlotte is by far and away the best performer for me in 2017, and it's going to take a hell of a lot from somebody to top her in 2018.
I can't argue with that at all. Who can argue with that? Charlotte is amazing. She is.
Last but absolutely not the least, it's the main event, folks. Best male performer of the year. Hayes, I mean, my mind is set like it was in the female performer. This is one of those are the two categories I knew what the hell I was going to say when I came into the show. I mean, I knew them all, but these are the two that I didn't debate at all. So I want to know if you debated your choice and who you ended up going with.
I debated it heavily. It took me a while. For a second there, I was going to go with Naito. There's something about him that I just love, but I wasn't able to give it to him. Okada is the best wrestler of 2017. As much as I wasn't a believer in him, I believe that New Japan handpicks his opponents at times, but the guy, he delivers. Every single match he delivers, he's the best wrestler of 2017 for me.
Watched enough New Japan to interpret things, but I can't argue with that fact at all. Like I said, I have watched a certain aspect, you know, watched parts of Dominion, I watched parts of Wrestle Kingdom 11. Everything that I saw from that shit, I cannot
gonna say for my performer of the year is just a guy that I didn't think was gonna come to this level this year, but last year and going into this year, but I mean, he's just the best in the world right now, and that's AJ. It's AJ Styles for me. I mean, he's a guy that took his match quality from the indies straight into WWE without missing a fucking beat, and took that 4.5-star match quality straight into the main event. And then he upgraded his promo ability to a degree that I didn't know.
Yes,
He was solid on Impact, but his promos were never to the point where he can his in-ring was main event, but his promos were always mid-card. This is when he came to WWE, his promos have been main event. I mean, his confidence is through the roof, and he deserves to have the belt. It was a shame that it was off of him for so long, but we're going into 2018 with him as the champ. I say we end 2018 with him as the champ. There's no other place for this guy because he is the best wrestler in the world.
Well, you know I'm never gonna go against AJ being the best wrestler in the world at all. Anyone who picks it, I'm never gonna go against it. That probably was my pick last year. So I hated on Okada so bad last year that you know he really won me over this year. But yeah, AJ, he's carried SmackDown. He is SmackDown. Without AJ Styles on SmackDown, it would be a utter complete mess. And they still have some talent there. Him and Kevin Owens feud, him and John Cena. Him and Jinder was okay. I mean that wasn't really a feud, but his match with Brock Lesnar. Let's right now. AJ
that match, man. I didn't you like didn't? That match.
It was, but you have to at least agree that it was probably Brock Lesnar's best match since he's been on this whole part time thing.
I thought his match with Samoa Joe at Great Balls of Fire was better. I'm gonna be straight, and I thought that his the car crash that he had with, you know, Braun Strowman and Samoa Joe and the Fatal 4-Way, I thought that was better too.
Wow. I thought the Goldberg match was
better. I thought the Goldberg matches were better too.
What? Really? That surprises me.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah.
That really surprises me. What
I like about those Goldberg matches, those were fucking awesome.
Wow. I mean, to each his own. We're not here to argue that, but I'm surprised. I thought I knew your what you liked in wrestling, and you just surprised me. I definitely didn't expect you to pick Goldberg. Like, the Goldberg one just almost floored me, honestly.
You didn't like that match?
The WrestleMania match?
Yeah.
I liked it as a culmination to the story they were telling with the two, but as just a match, it was okay. It wasn't bad, but it was okay.
I guess it's more like, I don't know, call me casual, whatever, but I was more invested into that storyline, so I was more on the edge of my seat for every single move they made. The nature of AJ versus Brock being last minute as opposed to Jinder versus Brock was that they had no time to build it up. So for me, I was like, well, I always know that Brock was going to win, but maybe if I could have had 2 weeks to build up to maybe suspending my disbelief that AJ might win, I would have thought it was better. But, like, I always knew Brock was going to win. That shouldn't technically, you know, make me think the match was bad or anything. But, like, I try to judge things from how much I enjoy them.
I try not to reflect upon, like, you know, what other people thought about the matches or how I feel like I'm supposed to feel about the match. I just go off of how I felt watching the match and how I remember myself feeling in reflection of watching it, and maybe watching it for a second time, which I have with the Brock and AJ match. And it was just like, you know, it's a great match featuring two great performers, but man, I need a long ass feud between those two that would make that match, that would increase that match to the next level. You know, I feel like the Joe versus Lesnar feud wasn't like a huge build, but it had the history of like, man, Joe is the baddest motherfucker out there, but man, he hasn't faced Brock. I thought Brock was the baddest motherfucker out there. It would be like if Lashley came back and Lashley just was hot-shotted into a feud with Lesnar. You don't need no backstory there. Those two motherfuckers are huge, and they're going to duke it out, and they're going to have a great physical match. When it comes to the AJ versus Brock, we all know that AJ is the best in the world, but man, we're still trying to think about it. If I'm trying to suspend my disbelief, Brock would just kill that dude in 2 seconds. So I need to have a storyline that will propel me into believing that AJ has some sort of advantage over Brock, because I didn't have that going into the match, and it hurt the match to me.
Yeah, I mean, to each his own. I'm a
storyline guy, man.
And that's the thing, and I say that all the time. That's the great thing about wrestling, is that people who like it for just the match, there's that, and people who like it for the story, there's that element. So I understand why the story can highlight the match for someone, and the match can be the end-all be-all for certain people. So I'm not going to knock you there at all. I completely understand people who are story people.
Well, shit, man, that's our best of 2017. Was there any topics we didn't cover? Do you want to say any worst of 2017 or anything like that? I didn't even think of anything like that.
We're being positive. I'm liking the positivity we've had on this show. We already have to talk about Impact, so I'm sure there's going to be negative stuff to come up at some point. Let's keep it positive.
Can I say one negative?
Sure.
You want to know my worst of 2017?
Go ahead. Shoot.
Can you guess it? It was recorded with you. I expressed my feelings with you. So that's on a let me talk to you. So that narrows it down.
Is it the Damian Sandow stuff in TNA?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. There we go. I'm glad I narrowed it down for you. Aaron fucking Rex. You can take that Liberace gimmick and go fuck off.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I that doesn't surprise me at all. You hated that. You hated that.
Dude, I haven't hated something in a very long time like that. You know, outside of like police brutality. I don't know. Fucking A, man. Well, that's it. We're going to review the first Impact of 2017 and Wrestle Kingdom 12. I mean, as much of a review as you want to call, we're going to give our thoughts on those two shows. That's going to be coming up in just a few days. Probably get that into your ear holes, folks, in about Tuesday or Wednesday. But that's all for this show. We're camping the best of 2017. Hope you liked it. We would love to know your thoughts, your responses to our categories. I'm going to be tweeting out all of our responses to each of these categories on my Twitter at @VERLANDJ. And please play along, respond to the tweets. Let me know what your best of 2017 was, rookie of the year, moment of the year, blah, blah, blah. You heard the show. You know what we talked about. So let us know what you thought. But like I said, at @VERLANDJ, I'll tweet out the show and all the results from this show. So please compare it, yours to ours. But Hayes, let them know where they can follow you on the Twitter machine.
You can follow me at CEO Hayes. That's at CEOHAIZE on all social media platforms. But more importantly, you can follow the Wrestling World Podcast Network at the WWPN and also at thewwpn.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
We always do, and we hope you do reach out to us. Like I said, Wrestle Kingdom 12, first Impact of 2017. It's going to be a hot show next week, but hey, we thought it was a hot show this week. Hope you thought so too. We're going to sign off. Until next time, we will see you in just a few days. Peace off.
Peace.